Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new Day All-Purpose Cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 76 of the Uncovered Podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DefMango on Twitter. And with me is Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere. We've got a lot of talking points today. Of course, you guys know that how we've kind of segmented overthrows for on-field stuff and uncovered for off-field stuff. Well, we've got a lot of off-field news this week. And we'll start off by the ICC enforcing the stop clock in white ball international games. This will, of course, start from the 1st of June. So basically, it'll happen for all full-member ODI and T20 games, and it will be in effect during the T20 World Cup. That's when we'll see it for the first time. And I'll just kind of give you guys a quick briefing on this. So they did trials, and approximately 20 minutes were saved per ODI by bringing this sort of innovation in and introducing stop clocks. So it is definitely good in that regard. And the fielding side will have to start a new over within 60 seconds of the completion of the previous over. Of course, there are some exceptions over here. If a new batter is coming in between overs, or, you know, there's a drinks break or an injury, or time lost for any circumstances beyond the control of the fielding side.
Hornets.
Make that a flock of hornets.
Is it a flock of hornets?
I'm not sure. Yeah, but basically anything like that happens with which the fielding side can't control, then they won't get any penalty. But, you know, I like the fact, Jared, that there are two warnings in place. So they fuck up the first time, they get a warning. Second time, they get a warning. Third times onwards, they basically have to incur a 5-run penalty for every single breach. And I think this is going to make the game very interesting.
Yeah, I think players will just go. I mean, if anyone's ever covered, you know, proper domestic cricket, and you probably never have had to, you probably only just done PSL and everything else. But professional players get through in domestic leagues all the time because they have to, because there's proper penalties and they lose points, and that means they won't, you know, all these things matter, right? And we just haven't created a system in cricket that has done that at the top level. And this stop clock is the best way to go. Stop clock is a stupid name because, of course, in basketball it's shot clock, and stop clock is just too close to that. I wish they'd come up with it.
The overclock. Yeah.
The clock over.
Clock over. Yeah.
But I also think they need to do stuff within the overs as well. I think this is just, you know, phase one of this. But geez, we've been talking about this for a long time of just being able to get to it. There'll be leagues that won't want to do it. I've always been interested with the IPL because the IPL doesn't seem to really wants the games to go on for 4.5 hours, it feels at times. We just saw a PSL final that went for 17 hours. So I think some leagues won't do it. And so franchise-wise, it would be really, really interesting. But from an international point of view, it makes sense. The biggest problem, I think, is you don't want to get to a position like baseball where you only change it because literally people have stopped following your sport, right? And I don't think that was happening in cricket. So better to fix it now while people are moaning about it all the time. Well, yeah, I did polite inquiries. I promise you there was not a day gone by that we didn't get multiple questions about overrates, right? Now, that was a test match show, and this isn't test match cricket, but it's the same thing. And it's like fans absolutely hate this. They feel like they are being cheated. And I understand the whole idea of, you know, other people go, well, as long as the cricket's entertaining, it doesn't matter. But the cricket's not always entertaining. So, like, you do have to do this. But also, from my basic level, I don't want us to get to the level of, as I said before, Mike Hussey running back to bowl overs because their teams are short. But if you can't manage your time and you can't make decisions within 2 minutes because you're having 83 conversations, then I'm sorry. That means you're not good enough as a captain, as a fielding team, to be able to get through. And don't get me started on batters asking for a new pair of gloves every over. Get your manufacturers to make better gloves.
It's interesting how I was imagining, you know, how will this exactly play out? And the only way I can kind of see it happening is, you know, if the third umpire is really good with pressing buttons and the timer is on the big screen, you know. It has to be on the big screen so that all the viewers kind of, you know, get to see whether or not there was an actual breach. And I mean, I hope that they are able to kind of educate, or at least the teams are able to educate themselves, because I'm sure the ICC will put out everything that they need to, because there are a lot of instances of tardiness with respect to, you know, restarting overs. So it'll be interesting to see how many of these instances or breaches we get in this T20 World Cup, because it is a 20-team World Cup. And we've seen in the past how some international teams are on top of these things and some of them just seem like they don't read the rule book, right?
Wouldn't it be great if Angelo Matthews was bowling and it took him too long to bowl his over? It took too long to start his over and just in a game against Bangladesh. If we can manage to make that happen, I think that's cricket imperfection.
If his lace is broken, and does that fall into the category of things that are beyond the control of the fielding team? If Angelo's lace is broken?
Has he told the umpires his laces are broken? That's the question.
Yeah, but that'll be interesting to see. I really want to see how this plays out, because this is something that I feel will definitely benefit the game. And for people who work in cricket and have to cover these games, we want them to end early. We don't want these games to be prolonged and you guys to be waiting here in the comments section because the PSL final was so long. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, some games are just going to go long anyway, right? Things are going to happen. And, you know, as a broadcast, I would say, I don't know how much commentary you've done, but as a broadcaster, the toughest job is usually an ODI. That is a lot of time spent, you know, talking and working. And if you get a slow ODI and it goes to, you know, 7.5, 8, 8.5 hours, it really does, like, it affects the quality of the broadcast and everything else. But we are paid a really good wage to do these things, and you know, but that doesn't mean that your energy doesn't go. Have a look at some of Ian Smith's commentary during the last World Cup. But the point being is, sometimes it can affect the drop-offs and when people are watching and everything else. And the biggest thing, the NBA All-Star game this year was delayed by like 50 minutes because the players were pissing about, right? I could be wrong, but that's what it seemed like. If you tell your kid that a game, that they could stay up to the end of a game and the game gets, like, how many kids would have been, you could stay up to the end of the PSL, we could stay up to the end of, it's like, and now it's 2 a.m. You know, this game should be for everyone, and having really late finishes when you don't need to have really late finishes, I think, is an issue. Everything else, as I said, you know, there are two sides to all those different things. But that is something I think cricket should think about. The first one is, are fans turning off because they're frustrated? And the second one is, are we making it harder for kids to watch the end of games just because it was scheduled to finish at 9:30, but it's actually finished at 11?
Speaking of which, not just 2 a.m., 2 a.m. on a Monday night. So good job, PSL schedulers. Anyway, Anish has sent his second super chat of the day. He's saying, or asking, who is going to stop India's home test juggernaut? I'm sure someone will win at some point. Who and when? I think that when Ravichandran Ashwin retires and Jadeja is not around, that's kind of when we'll get to see that happen.
That was an interesting way you put that. One of them is retiring and the other one's not around.
Yeah, because he's always injured. He's always injured, and he's also a politician now, right? So maybe he has some politics to do on the side. I don't know.
If you're asking, Anish, there is no team that I'm looking at in world cricket that is about to come and beat India in India. You need two world class. Well, you need at least one better than Nathan Lyon level spinner. And I don't know if anyone else ever has that. Yeah, you know, peak Yasir Shah type spinner. Then you also need the batting to be able to back that up, and probably also a bowler who is an expert in reverse swing, or, you know, that the sort of impact that Bumrah can give you. I don't see that team out there. maybe if there's some young South African spinners I'm not aware of that are coming through or some other team, but I don't see a team that. So the only way for India to struggle would be their own natural decline. And Jaiswal looks pretty handy. So, you know, and there's some young batting talent coming through. Maybe the seam bowling is declining a little bit. And as Bairam just said, maybe the spinners, although, you know, Kuldeep's probably got another 5 or 6 years going through. Akshar probably wouldn't want to make up for lost time. You know, Washington Zunda still hasn't developed fully yet. So there's still plenty of talent out there. So I don't see a natural drop-off for India, and I don't see a natural rival for them in Indian conditions right at the moment. Oh, wait a minute. Hasaranga's just come out of retirement, so India, yeah. Sri Lanka will beat them.
Yeah, if they pretty much play like 10 batters and Hasaranga, maybe then they have a chance. But yeah, I mean, the gulf in quality in those sort of conditions is so huge when it comes to India and any other side. So I just don't see it happen in the near future. The last time it happened, was it 2012 when England did it? They had a peak Swan and Monty do well for them.
Plus, and it was also a bit of a transitional phase for Indian cricket, wasn't it, that period? Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, England probably had the best chance because of all the injuries and parental leave and all sorts of things in this particular series. They, you know, it would have been interesting if Australia had gone over at the same time on those wickets. Maybe they could have done that. But I just don't see a team going back there and beating them at the moment.
Yeah. When do Australia go there next?
I don't know. They're there every 8 minutes. They might have just played a test series and we missed it for all we know. Like, it's there's so many of them. It was funny. Someone recently said, you know, you cover every Indian game. I go, I don't even cover every Australia Indian game because they play so many that, like, at a certain point, you just have to check out and go, oh, someone made some runs, did they?
Yeah. Not long ago, we had these complaints that why are you covering these minnow series? And then you're saying you cover every India game. What do you guys want?
But I cover everything at all times. That's what I cover.
Yeah. Anyway, another thing that the ICC kind of, you know, stipulated for this T20 World Cup, and I don't agree with this one. I think that this one is flawed, is that you need to have 10 overs in the second innings for DLS to kick in and or for us to get a result in games. Now, there is rain in that part of the world. Why are you giving us more no results? That's what it sounds like to me.
I don't think 5 overs is enough for a cricket game.
So you're fine with the 10 overs thing?
So I understand it, I suppose, is the best way of putting it. Have we had, but having said that, have we had any really rogue results from a 5-over game in a World Cup so far? I mean, we probably have in bilaterals. I probably would have gone 7 or 8, if I was doing it. The idea of just making it this, you know, the same as ODI cricket probably doesn't make as much sense. I wouldn't have thought in that level. But yeah, one of the more ridiculous cricket games I've ever seen was South Africa Zimbabwe, when then no one should have been on that field, and umpires were trying to push through for 5 overs. It was absolutely not fit for international cricket at all, that game. Maybe is it making it harder for umpires to do that if it's 10 overs? I don't know. But yeah, I'm not as anti it as you are, but I probably would have picked a slightly different number if it was me.
I think that's fair. If they'd gone with like 7, I wouldn't have had that big of an issue. Brady asks, and a very generous super chat donation as well. Thank you to you, Brady. Dobell keeps mentioning an asterisk against England's away series during COVID because of how hard it was. How fair is that? Is it an excuse? There are other teams that won away during COVID. Interesting question.
I think England did more touring and did more bubble work than anyone else. And I do know that, I know Australian players laugh at England when they go on about this, but I do know from having spoken to people in the England camp, it did affect them. Now, the reason I wouldn't put an asterisk on this is if you go back to the bubble of the NBA, there were teams that did not handle being in the bubble of the NBA. And then there are other teams that are like, this is the greatest thing ever. All we have to do is sleep in, wake up and play basketball. And we don't have to travel and we don't have to worry about anything else. And we're all hanging out together and this is great. And we'll see our families when hopefully we win the championship or not. That's part of the gig. Sometimes it is tough, right? And if you're an England cricketer, you know, English cricketers usually spend more time traveling than any other cricketers. That is part of what it is. So I would not agree with putting an asterisk against it. Because I do think other teams had to do it. And other teams had to do it while being paid a fraction of what the England players were being paid. And this isn't all about money, but, you know, there was a lot of West Indian players who came over. They came from islands where there were less people on their islands than there were dying on a daily rate in England or in a weekly rate in England from COVID. And they came over for not very much money to play in those situations. And I don't think I've never heard any of them talk about having an asterisk on their conditions on their cricket. So, but as I said, I understand George's point, but that's part of dealing with the shitness of touring, whether it be COVID, whether it be fame, whether, you know, there are cricketers who cannot stand the fact that they can't leave their hotel rooms in places like Bangladesh and India and Pakistan. Mm. They cannot stand it because they're not hotel room people. Right. And there are other players who will have, you know, who are like, wait, there's a hotel in the ground and I have a personal chef. This is the greatest moment of my life. Plug in my FIFA box and call me when it's time for me to hit the nets. And so different teams handle things differently. And, you know, we know the England team, when they did the bubble to South Africa for the one days, the South Africans were like, what? We can't make you, we can't give you facilities where you can play golf every day. But the England players were like, we won't go anywhere where there's no golf. Right. Everyone is different in all those situations. So I wouldn't put an asterisk on it, but I also wouldn't say it wasn't normal life. Right. And everyone reacted to it differently. But I think as we've seen a lot of times, England players usually gets rinsed by their board. And maybe that affected them more.
Yeah. I mean, if I think of Pakistan, Misbah led the team to number one in the test rankings, not playing at home. So that team was always touring. So, I mean, there's no asterisk over there either. Right. So
there is, though, because we do mention that sort of stuff. Yeah. So you can put the asterisks in if you want, but it doesn't stop the fact that you have to win or lose. It's tough to win consistently in test cricket when you're away in any conditions, right? Like, that's just part of the gig.
If you need your pitch changed, well, NordVPN can doctor any surface to a new location so that your IP address is set for you to win. Want to watch a game on a free stream in another hemisphere? Give NordVPN the ball. Or if you just want to watch a clip on social media that a cricket board won't allow, promote NordVPN to pinch hit. So if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a 2-year contract with a discount, plus 4 extra months and gifts in some markets. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a bowler protects the boundaries in the death overs with nordvpn.com/Kimber today.
Fuel your team with Total Coffee from Staples Business Advantage. Our comprehensive program offers no upfront cost brewers, installation, maintenance, and supplies. Plus, our incredible selection of coffee and beverages, including our new Pick Me Up Provisions brand. We handle everything from finding the best brewer to providing ongoing service, all at no cost with your minimum monthly spend on breakroom products. Visit staplesadvantage.com/totalcoffee to get started.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Anyway, we got another super chat from Jonathan Braun, and it's an IPL question. He asks, do you expect Rachin Ravindra to replace Devon Conway at the top of the order for CSK? How good do you think he could be in that role?
No, I don't. I wouldn't have thought that is going to happen. And, you know, it's not that Rachin Ravindra is not a fantastic cricketer. It's more to do with the fact that last year, Devon Conway averaged 50. So, like, if I know Devon Conway's gone through a bit of a crisis in test cricket and hasn't made as many runs overall as he has. But I think, knowing the way that Chennai select, they're probably not going to dump him straight away, right?
Yeah.
I actually think that Rachin and Daryl Mitchell are probably more fighting for a position. Obviously, it's probably going to go to Daryl Mitchell just because they paid him an absolute fortune. But
yeah.
the one thing I would say that is Imrachan's advantage is the fact that he can bowl more than Darren, or his bowling is going to be more useful in India. Darren Mitchell is probably a better bowler than Imrachan Ravindra, but that's just my personal take. But he's not going to bowl much in the IPL. He's not going to be of much use bowling in the IPL. And we know that India, who we're talking about, Chennai, really love their multiple all-rounders and flexibility of lineup and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, batting down to number 11 and everything. If they can get an over and a half, two overs out of a guy who bats at, you know, number four, number five, and we still know that, and we know Imrachan can make runs in India now, then there is an opportunity there that they might do that. But Devon Conway has earned his spot. I don't know what his overall record
is. He is injured right now, but like you mentioned, Daryl Mitchell is probably the guy they'll go to. Look, they'll probably play Teekshana. They'll be tempted to play Santner at times, but they've got Jadeja.
So, Moeen Ali as well?
Yeah, I would say they've liked to go to Moeen because he gives them, you know, flexibility with both bat and ball, and the surfaces suit him.
Yeah, I think if they come up against right-hand dependent teams, Ratcham becomes really important. But just because of the way that the pitches rag over there, they can maybe get an over and over and a half out of him.
Maybe they'll play him as opener whenever they play RCB in Bangalore.
Yeah. So, but Devon Conway, I just had a look here. His record in the IPL in 23 games is 924 runs and an average of 48 and a strike rate of 141. He's earned another full season at the top of the order unless he, you know, can't hit the ball off the square, would be my guess.
I mean, that's next season, right? Because he won't be playing this one pretty much. All right, Anish says
But I suppose my point is, if Ratchan comes in and opens the batting and does very, very well, like, you're not going to get rid of the guy who we average 50, are you?
Yeah, definitely not. And I mean, Stephen Fleming is the coach, so I'm not surprised that this is shaping up to be somewhat Chennai Super Kiwis, as some people have been calling it. Yeah. Anish has sent his third super chat of the day. He says, what's the reason for PSL final scheduled on Monday?
So I was going to ask you that.
This is not the first time they've done this. This happened last year as well. And last year, it seemed like some political angle to moving the final to Monday. But this year, I simply feel that it's incompetence. And I'll tell you why.
So they didn't realize it was a Monday.
Yeah. No. I'll tell you exactly where the incompetence probably kicked in. This is, of course, by theory. But it kind of checks out because I was thinking about this. So the PSL happens dead in the middle of the IPL on one end. So it's bookended by the IPL. And then those four leagues that happen in tandem in January, right? The SA20, ILT20, Big Bash, Summer Fit, and the Bangladesh Premier League. So they want to have a dedicated window for the PSL where there's no other franchise T20 cricket happening, which I understand. I actually get that. And in a way, they want to kind of attract top talent as well, but top talent kind of wants to take a break before the IPL. So it's an interesting predicament over there. But I feel like they were like, oh, this is the day the ILT20 ends. Let's schedule the first game right away. And what they didn't factor in is that come playoffs, they're going to have four consecutive playoff games. That is correct. Four consecutive playoff games. And then the team that wins the eliminator would have played three games in a row, you know, on three consecutive games. And that was just not feasible because you don't want to basically kill those players. T20, sure, it's 40 overs a day, but it's still a very hectic format because you have to kind of put a lot of energy into it and it's high octane. So to give those players a break who are coming from the eliminator, that's why I believe the PSL moved the final to a Monday. And it's a stupid, stupid thing to do because you could have just moved everything back one more day had you thought this through. But they clearly didn't think this through. And that's why it took us so long to start this show, because the final was today.
I do wonder what the future of those events are, because there wasn't much crowd. But was the crowd due to other factors, or was it Monday, do you think?
So the Pindi games were full houses, right? And they always are. Yeah. Rawalpindi turns up for a dead rubber test because I remember Bangladesh were touring once and the first 2-3 days were washed out. They had full houses in the remainder of the test match, so both those 2 days. So they love the cricket in Pindi, and also it's you're closer to the action when you're in the enclosures, so there's not a lot going in between in terms of like fences and that sort of stuff. Multan is a smaller center, so you always get full houses over there because people are, you know, they're thirsty for high level cricket. Lahore is Lahore, and it's just one of those places in the subcontinent which is very you know, a festival-like. Everyone loves to have a good time, so they turn up and they love the Lahore Qalandars. It's actually a partisan crowd with the Lahore Qalandars. They don't care about the opposition. If you go to other places in Pakistan, the opposition gets lots of plaudits. Even international teams that come over here are always surprised by that. Lahore, when they are cheering on their own team in the PSL, don't do that for anyone else. Karachi have a shit team in the PSL, for starters. And also, I don't know which one is heavier over here in terms of contributing factors, but A, it's in a hotbed, the stadium. So there are two universities, two hospitals, one naval base, lots and lots of people right, you know, across that area, like encircling the stadium. So that area is trafficy as is. And then you put in PSL security and tons of people. Mm. And then also there are, you know, big barbed fences in Karachi Stadium. So you have to sit at an elevated seat. Otherwise, your viewing experience is screwed. A lot of people who are here from India will kind of understand how pillars can be, you know, very, very bothering when you're watching a game. And Karachi has that issue. So I have been told by many people that, oh, it's because it takes a lot of energy to get there. And we're just not, you know, willing to expend all of that energy. And also the viewing experience and the fan experience is garbage. Now, they turn up to other centers. So I think it's more so to do with fan experience than the other stuff. But they filled it up today. It was a house full, right? So I don't know what exactly it is, but the PCB need to fix this because there's a Champions Trophy coming. And fingers crossed, it is hosted entirely in Pakistan. Karachi is a major cricketing city. People in Karachi love their cricket. I'm not willing to buy the notion that they've lost interest. So that's something they need to fix. And it was definitely something that was a very poor look on the PSL that you're having these playoffs and your top players are playing and the crowd isn't there. And luckily enough, the last two games were better.
No, it's interesting. Simon Nathan's put in a comment saying that it's like the US elections. I'm hoping, though, it's not like the US elections. They didn't set it up on a random day so that working class people can't come and watch it. Yeah. So it's a little bit different from that point of view.
Mitran Malar Vanan, I'm so sorry if I butchered your name over there, Mitran. He asks, pre-COVID Roots team had similar win percentage to Stokes. Say what? Really?
They were better. I mean, there was a time when they were playing okay. If that's what he means. Let's have a look. I can probably bring this up very quickly.
Ben Stokes has lost, what, 8 test matches in 2 years? Take the India series out, and that's a pretty good-looking record.
Yeah. I mean, they were doing fantastic. So let's just have a look. I'm trying to remember when freaking COVID was, which is the most important thing here. But in their win-loss record, so when was COVID, 2021?
March 2020 is when the lockdown started.
So 2019 was before COVID, correct? We can all agree on that?
Yep.
England won 4 test matches and lost 6.
So that's not a better win percentage.
No, they were struggling before that. Mm-hmm. They had some good runs. They're very similar to South Africa. When they play a bunch of average teams in a row, you know, they win a lot of games. And if I'm not mistaken, so you said 2020 was the start of
March 2020 is when it started.
So at the start in 2020, they actually did really, really well that year. So 2019, they struggled when they played slightly better teams. 2020, they did really well at the start of lockdown. And then in 2021, you know, they played 15 test matches, they won 4 and they lost 9. So if you look at COVID as an entire COVID bubble, they played 24 test matches, they won 10. And they lost 10. So they were a 50-50 team, but against the best sides, let's be honest, they weren't particularly that special. They didn't look good when they played Australia. They didn't particularly look good when they played India.
The West Indies also?
Yeah, there were times against the West Indies. So, you know, there's I won't have it that they haven't looked better when they've played baseball than they did before. It's fundamentally not true. They're still a weak side. They're still a spasmodic side that I don't expect consistency from. This idea that it's all COVID related or that under Root they were doing well, Root lost the plot, right? Like he completely lost the plot as a captain. And that wasn't just COVID. He was really, really struggling with the job.
He even sacked Jimmy and Broad, and that entire thing happened, right?
That was an incredible moment.
Yeah. Anyway, Anish with yet another super chat says, do you guys think the Champions Trophy will be held in Pakistan? Yeah, I also have my fears because we saw what happened with the Asia Cup. And if there is to be a hybrid solution, I hope that, and this is me being wishful, I'm not having or pinning any hopes on it. I hope that if it is to be a hybrid solution, India play their games in Dubai and everything else happens in Pakistan. But let's kind of, you know, keep our fingers crossed on this because I don't know what to tell you. All right. Mitran again asks, they beat South Africa 3-1 away, beat India 4-1 at home.
Yep, they beat South Africa 3-1 away. That was a absolute trash South African team that was losing the plot internally. And I was at that series. If you're thinking that that series means anything, I'm sorry, it did not. They beat India 4-1 at home. I thought India played really well and could have easily stolen a couple of extra games. No, saying that they were always terrible, but do you want me to just go back and read that record? Like, do I really need to read this out loud again? Like, in 2019, they were not a particularly good cricket team. And that's just a fact of what happened. I don't know what else you want us to say. They wasn't just a COVID thing. They were struggling beforehand. Like, so if you go back, let's have a look at English cricket. So let's go back to the start of 2018, right? So the start of 2018, if we forget the Ashes there, we go to New Zealand. They lost a series in New Zealand. Did they play Pakistan in?
They played Pakistan in 2020.
What about 2018? Did they play Pakistan in 2018?
They visit the UAE. God. No, I think Australia came to the UAE in 2018, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, wait a minute. I might have got the wrong. Oh, no. Oh, now I've completely clicked the wrong thing. No, I've got England. Just making sure I was looking at England's record and not some other random teams for a minute there. Let's just quickly go through this. So 2018, they lost to New Zealand over there. Then they played Pakistan at Lords and Leeds in 2018.
Lost 1-1. They lost the test match. Yeah.
They lost the test match there, right?
Muhammad Abbas. I remember that.
Yeah. They then played India in 2018. As you said, they did really well in that series. They went to Sri Lanka. I thought they played really well in that series. They went to West Indies and they lost. And England fans will always say, oh, but they always go to West Indies and lost. Yep, they lost. They should have lost was it 2019? They played Ireland for the first time. And almost lost that game.
Yeah.
Right? That absolutely pathetic in that test match.
The Timmy Murtagh game.
Incredibly lucky to draw the series against Australia in 2019. And really, Australia crapped the bed there. As I said, they beat South Africa, lost that first test, and then came back. Was it the first test? Lost the first test and then came back there. That was not a good South African team. They then lost a test to West Indies at home. So I'm just going through, that's the first COVID test. That's a lot of, what are we talking about there? Like, that is not the record of a very, very good team. They were struggling so much and it gets way worse after then. And if you want to put an asterisk on the COVID stuff, that's fine. But they were not a consistently good team before then. I've been covering that team all the way through that period. They were... Like, I was laughing at how bad they were at times, even when they were beating other teams. So anyway, another super chat from VK.
VK says, hello, Bairam and Jared. Always enjoy your show and appreciate how unbiased you both are. Can you pick 4 overseas players for Sunrisers Hyderabad? We've done this like 5 times and I literally
Everyone wants to know this one, don't they?
I remember.
Anyone but Pat Cummins. Don't pick Pat Cummins would be my selection.
I think my picks were Hasaranga, Glenn Phillips, Heinrich Klaassen, and Aidan Markram. Those are the 4 I went with. Obviously, Pat Cummins is going to play. He's captain.
Yeah. You've got Hasaranga, Klaassen. So those two are automatics for me. And you've got Markram.
Yes.
And you've got Glenn Phillips. So, yeah, they probably won't have Glenn Phillips, will they? They'll probably have Cummins instead of him. I can't remember if there's any others out there. But yeah.
Travis Head. They've got Travis Head as well.
Travis Head. I feel like there's one other player who I'm missing as well. But yes.
Marco Janssen, he's in.
Yeah. Marco Janssen is the other one. Yeah. So, no, it would probably be Cummins and Klaassen and Hasaranga and then one of the other batters. Maybe they will go for head or you know, depending on what they're looking for. Head gives you, I suppose, a little bit of bowling. I suppose Markram does as well. They're probably not that much different in bowling. But yeah, it's incredible how often this question comes up. I mean, the truth is, I've just, you know, just been doing the numbers. It's remarkable how bad they were. Let's see if I've got them here so I can go through them. It is absolutely remarkable at just how bad Sunrisers were. So I have them as negative, and this is on my rating system. I have them on negative on power play batting, 26% worse than normal. I have them as par in middle order batting. I have them 6% worse on death batting. I have them as 2% worse on power play bowling, 13% worse on middle overs bowling, and 7% better on death bowling. I just don't think Pat Cummins is going to fix that. Hasaranga might help, right? But I just don't think that,
Let's just say that if the Sunrisers were playing a four-day competition, I would understand them making Pat Cummins their captain. Because interestingly enough, and this is a natural segue, Australia have moved away from Pat Cummins as their T20 captain. And Sunrisers have gone for him. Because Australia, like, they haven't penciled this in just yet, but it's more or less a done deal that Mitch Marsh will be leading the side in the T20 World Cup in the USA and Caribbean. So they've even stepped away from Pat Cummins. But the Sunrisers have paid a truckload of money for him. He's the second most lucrative purchase in IPL history. And he's also going to be leading the side. So I don't know what they're smoking, but I'd like some.
I don't really understand it. I think Australia have made the right move. I think Pat Cummins was overburdened with captaining all three. He's now got wins right across the board. So he's kind of, cemented himself from that point of view. I think he's probably at his weakest in T20 cricket. And so gives them flexibility where they don't have to play him. And they've got other, Spencer Johnson and Jai Richardson is hopefully going to be fit again. And, other players coming through that they can trial and everything else. And it just gives them a flexibility in the way that the Sunrisers have given themselves no flexibility. The worst thing you can do is pick an overseas captain for a franchise team who is not an automatic selection for every game going in unless they're injured. But forgetting that, I think, from that point of view, I'd be shocked if Pat Cummins is not the sort of person that George Bailey, Andrew McDonald, and Mitch Marsh can't go to and go, Pat, we love you. You're not bowling great. Can we just rest you for this game so we can try an extra spinner? Or can we just... Maybe we're going to pick an all-rounder in, Aaron Hardy. I knew you'd like that. Whatever it may be, they try something a little bit different and go with that kind of, Ashton Agar, a player, whoever it may be for a particular game. Gives them more flexibility. That was part of the problem during the World Cup. Like, Pat Cummins is now seen as this legend because of what he did in the World Cup final. Yeah, I was there in the semi-final. Not so much. I was there for many of the other games where he was one of the worst bowlers Australia had. That was ODI cricket, which I think is more suited to as well. So I think it's a good move from Australia. And, he's not going to be annoyed. He's still going to be part of the squad. He's such a talented player. No one's going to get rid of him. But it just gives Australia a little bit more flexibility. And, it's part of the incredible development of Mitch Marsh. I've said this story before, but, I remember a young Mitch Marsh asking me to send a tweet to a woman on Twitter about the time he got hit in the balls by, I don't know how he thought this was going to help him get lucky, by the way. He's just developed so much as a human being and as a player over that time. And, I do think he's probably a natural sort of, you watch the way he bowls and it's clear that he really thinks about the game a lot. And he's got holes in his game and we know that, but he's done so well. So I think it's a fascinating move by Australia and probably a good one in many different ways.
Yeah. I mean, back on Pat Cummins, I don't think he'll be complaining at all because he won the T20 World Cup as a player, then the World Test Championship and the ODI World Cup as a captain and retained the Ashes in England. So after that, he's bagged the second most lucrative deal in IPL history. So he won't be complaining if Australia rest him in T20 games. Yeah, he should be fine. And Mitch Marsh is not someone who's going to be captaining the side out of the blue. He's been captaining the side in these fringe series here and there. T20s and ODIs. And it's interesting how I never saw him as this leadership figure. The Bison was always this casual, in his own world, kind of hunky-dory sort of personality. But now I see how, maybe they see him as this liberating factor where everyone can go and play their game. And that's how Australia should be playing T20 cricket. So this could really be a great move by Australia, because if you look at the team on paper, they've got some really, really hard-hitting players in there. I mean, Tim David is one of the most sought-after commodities in the shortest format. So I expect Mitch Marsh to do a good job.
I need to see a lot more of his captaincy before I would be massively concerned. But I didn't think Pat Cummins was a great captain tactically either. So yeah. It's not like, you know, you're going from MS Dhoni to a can of tuna, right? Like it's, yeah. I would assume there's not going to be a big drop off in tactics, and there may even be more. I think it'll be interesting. Mm.
Anyway, on that note, let's take a short break. We have more to talk about on Uncovered. You're with Behram and Jared. And yeah, go see this ad and we'll join you shortly after.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome back to Uncovered. You are with Behram and Jared. And one of the more sad news that came out recently, we of course know that Harry Brooke pulled out of the test series versus India. And now he's also withdrawn himself from the IPL. It's caused a bit of an uproar people have not taken to this news kindly because there is this notion that England kind of pulls out their players from the IPL. And I understand that. But, he kind of gave everyone an explanation of how he was super close to his grandmother, who had a strong influence on him, and why he even took up the sport in the first place. He's lost his grandmother. He's grieving and he's mourning. And he's just not in the right frame of mind to pick up a bat yet. So I think people should give him ample time and respect that decision. But clearly, Akash Chopra is coming on and saying that, hey, pick English players in the IPL at your own peril. Which I think was a tone-deaf tweet in the context of things and ill-timed.
Yeah, I don't know how much information he had when he made that comment at the time. But I happen to have met Harry Brooke's grandmother randomly.
Oh.
And she was a huge part of his life and his career. And as someone who had a very special relationship with my grandmother that I don't think other people would have understood, I can understand why he would be in that place. But if you're using that as part of your narrative about players from certain countries, that's just bullshit, right? Because Virat Kohli just missed a test series because of a baby. And there are other players who would have missed maybe a test for that, right? Yeah. And that's fine. No problem with Virat Kohli doing that. He put his family first. You know, there were obviously issues going on around the birth and all these sorts of things. And he did that. And we can't support Virat Kohli and then slag off Harry Brooke, and this is the second time this has happened recently, right? And, we can't say that Ashwin is doing a great thing in the middle of a test match and that Harry Brooke is doing the wrong thing. Like, everyone grieves and handles things differently. And if you can't handle that, I don't know what to say to people who can't do that. And I'm not having to go at Akash because, as I said, I don't know when he sent his tweet and everything else. But I'm saying in general, it just feels like people have got, agendas. It's like, this isn't about an agenda. This isn't about his nationality. This is about him as a person and what has happened, with a family member and how it's affected him. And he doesn't want to go out and play. And I think we've talked about this before, probably with a similar, probably when Ashwin or Brooke or whoever it was last time.
I think it was Kohli and Brooke because that's what happened at the start of the series, right? The test series. Yeah.
I know players who want to go out and play when these things happen. Yeah. And I know players who don't want to do it. And you have to deal with your life in the way that you do. And for other people to be, pejorative or to use you as part of a culture war on cricket Twitter, it's just fuck off, right? Like, that's not what this is. This is a human being who lost someone close to him and he's not ready to play cricket at the moment. Everyone is different.
Everyone is different, and culture wars are exhausting just to read anywhere, not just Twitter. But honestly, like, I went to Canada, interacted with people from all over the globe. And I mean, treat people as people. Don't make it an us versus them thing. I keep saying the same thing over and over again on different platforms. Someone has said that I think Chopra meant about Roy. Well, Chopra timed his tweet literally an hour after the Harry Brook news. So you have to kind of, if when you were a public figure, you have to think about, you know, are you displaying a lack of empathy? Because that's not a good look. And I think that empathy is a big part of our lives, not just sport. And you have to take care of or take that into consideration, because like Jared said, everyone deals with these sort of things differently. And I've also lost two grandmothers who I was really close to. So I get it, right? Like, you don't really want to do anything. You feel like just talking to no one and staying in your room and looking at an old photo album. That's what you kind of feel like doing. So you have to give people the space to cope with loss or any sort of adversity, you know, in the way that suits them best. And if Harry Brook does not want to play cricket right now and wants to heal, then so be it. He doesn't owe anyone anything. He's not going to get paid by Delhi, right? They've already signed Fraser McGurk as a replacement. So I don't think this is a big issue. And, you know, if you're talking about, you know, impeding the IPL, well, look at what happens in other T20 leagues across the world. It's all impeding, right? These things happen that this player is available for 6 games and he's gone. You know, so it's a normal thing. Don't make it into some nationalistic bullcrap. Anyway, there's other news, this time from Pakistan. So Jared, Shane Watson was actually coaching the Quetta Gladiators this time around. And, you know, Pakistanis, they get a boner whenever some Australian comes and works with their players. This is a very real thing. And Watto is much loved over here. Of course, he came to Pakistan as a player to play the PSL when, you know, it was harder for Pakistan to attract international stars to tour the country. So there is that sense of attachment and love with respect to Watto. And Watto kind of, you know, laid out his terms where he was like, okay, I can do the job, but I want to get paid $500,000 in a year. And the PCB quadrupled the amount and said, we'll pay you $2 million a year. And then it fell through. He snubbed them because obviously he probably wants to spend time with family, has some commentary gigs, maybe some franchise stuff as well. But all in all, the PCB kind of came out of this looking like absolute losers. And that's the challenge right now. They're fixated on a foreign coach. And all these grade A foreign coaches like Mike Hessen, Andy Flower, they are, you know, in that space where coaching a franchise team for a few months in the year is an easier, less pressure job. And it's just, it makes more sense for them. So I don't know what the PCB is trying to do over here.
This is actually a story about Sri Lanka, but it's obviously similar. I've had a lot of friends who've been offered jobs in Sri Lankan cricket. And they're like, okay, so I stop my franchise gigs. I go over and I'm the head coach of Sri Lanka. We win a couple of series. Maybe we win 2 out of our 4 series that I start off with. Then the next 2 series, we're going up against India and Australia and Australia. We lose them. Then we go to the West Indies and we split that 1-0. And then we go to Pakistan and we lose 2-1 or something, right? I'm going to lose my job. It doesn't matter that I've made the team better or not, because that's not how things will be looked at.
Yeah.
And we've just had Mickey Arthur put the job together exactly as he wanted it. It was put together for him, by him. You know, we had a huge, you know, podcast episode about it, how interesting it was and everything else. But the truth is that fell through. And so Shane Watson just doesn't feel comfortable. Yeah. Then you've got the other stuff. You know, I know Mickey Arthur, but I know Wasim Khan a little bit as well. Wasim Khan was not ready for the amount of personal vitriol. Now, there are a lot of Pakistani fans who don't like him. I get that. He wasn't.
Because everyone I interact with says, oh, Wasim Khan was the best. And I liked him too.
They say that a lot more now than they did at the time.
Of course.
But his salary was leaked to the press. You know, details about his private life were leaked to the press. It's not a normal job, right? That isn't happening. No one cares if you're the coach of the Sunrisers. No one even knows who the coach of the Sunrisers is. On a day-to-day basis, no person in the cricket world can tell you who the Sunrisers coach is. They've had 3 coaches today, from what I can tell, right? That's not the case if you're the coach of the Pakistan team. And Sri Lanka is similar, but in a different way. And you're always under pressure. You are always dealing with external parts that just don't help you do the job correctly. And, you know, I occasionally get asked, I've never been offered a major job, but I occasionally get asked, would you be interested in being, you know, an analyst for a team like Sri Lanka or a team like Bangladesh or a team like Pakistan? And I'm like, well, what position would I be in? right? Like, if I take that job, I have to stop everything else. And I can't guarantee I'm going to be there all that long. And I don't have the sway of a coach to be able to get money back later on and all those sorts of things. And I also have to deal with the pressure. And I completely get it. I was actually shocked that Watto took it as far as he did. But yeah. Just, I don't know him at all personally. Never met him in my life. You know, I've interviewed him, but never met him. I don't know how he would have handled that kind of a situation and whether it would have suited him or not. I know he wouldn't make $2 million a year from cricket work outside of that, as it is at the moment. He might in the future, but I don't think he would be at the moment. But would it be better for his work-life balance? Would it be better for his mental health? Would it be better for his family? Probably not. And that's what coaches are now thinking.
He had Sean Tate as bowling coach with him in Quetta, and he probably gave him a lot of insight, right? Because Tate was there with Pakistan not too long ago, and he was treated really poorly, and the media treated him really poorly. I was in a presser with Sean Tate, and they were asking him questions where he was just firing back right at them. And I was scared when it came to me and my question, but he answered my question really well. You guys can go take it up or whatever. Tate liked me. But, you know, it's not just the volatility. Of course, the PCB have a new chairman every week. And we've seen
that's what I mean.
Four different guys hold the post in the last year or something. It's directly intertwined, the PCB, with the government of Pakistan, and that's had so much volatility. So there is no security whatsoever. It's insecurity central. And what
I've got a friend at the moment. I've got a friend at the moment who has a coaching job, and there's like a few things that have changed around the domestic board that he's working at. And so he was saying to me, "I might lose my job, not because I haven't been a good coach, but because, you know, there's a few different movements around here, and because of that, they might think that they want to try a new direction, right?" And I was saying, "Geez, you know," and he said, "Yeah, it's not the end of the world. I've got this contract. They will pay me. They probably won't pay me my full amount of my contract, right? But they will give me a lump sum to get rid of me so that they can bring another coach in and so that I don't make any big issues for them." The sort of stuff that you're talking about, we know that that doesn't always happen, right? Like, the money that is promised doesn't always trickle down to these people. There are issues there are, and you know, this is a big problem in franchise cricket, but it's also a big problem with these other things. You sign up for a two-year deal for $2 million a year. What about in 3 months' time if you lose that job? I mean, who knows what Muhammad Hafiz and Mahab Riaz and all these, you know, Salman Butt was involved 5 minutes ago. Like, it's a shit show over there. How do you know you're going to be working in that job for 5 months?
It's an understatement to call it a shit show. Absolute understatement. Like, remember how Mickey and Brad Burns were still being paid and they didn't go to Australia with the team? Like, that's where we're at right now. What sort of coach would want to come into this sort of setup? Especially, you know, look, Pakistan right now is a team of, you know, you've got some talented individuals, but it's all over the place. The leadership is gone and it's like a new chairman every day. And also just the fact that the media over here is kind of always trying to trigger some new controversy. It's like a really, really toxic environment to be in. And from the PCB's perspective, if you're willing to drop $2 million, I've had conversations with people who said that they could have potentially convinced Andy Flower if they were brought into the loop, because there are some existing relationships via the franchise circuit. So go for someone with badges then. If you want to pay $2 million, go for someone who has a specialized, you know, certification in cricket coaching, because
not even that. Like, I mean, if that's how much money they were willing to spend, and that is the kind of money we're looking at now. Like, you know, we know what Brendan McCullum, the sort of the base in the, you know, roughly what he's on, and you know, we know the sort of money that some of these other teams are looking to spend. If that is the case, then I think you're right. What you have to do is go, okay, so who are the best five coaches in the world? That's not what they did, right? What they did was they wanted Watto. They got their mind fixated on him. I'm not saying he's a bad coach at all. I don't know what he's going to be like as a coach.
He's a young coach.
Yeah, I've said this before. When he commentated on that Zane World Cup as Dale Steyn, I was like, I cannot wait to hear Dale Steyn. I can't believe Shane Watson's commentating. And 5 minutes in, I was like, oh, I got this wrong. Dale Steyn's fine, but, you know, I think I've said this before. Dale Steyn would be great on a podcast, but on commentary, it doesn't quite work as well. Watto just absolutely nailed it, and I was sitting there going, "There's just insight after insight here." So, you know, you hope that translates to being a coach as well. Sometimes I think coaches are hired on how they commentate, and it is two different skills, but that's a different question for another day. But what I would say is, if you're going to spend that much money, you want to make sure that you are getting Brendan McCullum, right? Or, you know, or Andy Flower or Mickey Arthur or, you know, these coaches with incredible record, Ravi Shastri or whoever it may be, you know, coaches with really good records and everything else. If you're not doing that, then what are you doing here? Right. Yeah. And also there is a bit of a thing of like, you know, you've asked someone out on a date, and they're like, they're willing to go to McDonald's, and you've now taken them to the Ritz, and you try and pick them up in a limousine with a tuxedo, and they're like, but I'm dressed for McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean, Watto is still a new coach, and who's to say how good he is? But just look at the fact that, you know, you had Mike Hessen coaching one of the franchises. Maybe spend that money on him. He probably would decline because he has franchise gigs all over as well. And Andy Flower is someone who has worked with Pakistan cricket prior. Grant Flower has worked with Pakistan a lot.
So all the Flowers.
Yeah. They have that connection and they like working over here. So maybe go for them. And also, you know, you talked about leaked conversations and all of that. This entire bargaining ordeal between Watto and the PCB was leaked. We know about all of these things. We know the numbers. So maybe that was a red flag big enough for Watto to say no.
That's what I was saying before. It's that sort of stuff of like, you know, coaching international cricket teams, just hard. You're under pressure. It's especially now with the multi-formats, it is such a tough job. The fact that you can make more money sometimes or the same money in franchise cricket, which is a much easier job, is obviously going to stretch things out. But there are still some people who haven't got into the franchise setup. Like someone like Chris Silver would probably have thought to himself, well, I've been offered this job with Sri Lanka. And I can take that straight away and I can move over there. But if I go to the franchises, I kind of have to find my way and build my way back up. So there are going to be people who go the national route and they're going to be people who go the franchise route. We understand all that, but it is a tough job. If while you're negotiating, all the details are out in the public. And maybe, as you said before, maybe someone like Sean Tate, Matthew Hayden.
Yeah.
Perhaps as well. You know, Jeff Lawson. Or, you know, there are many people he could have talked to and just be like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the issue, I think, that bothers me, is that a lot of these guys are not taking these positions because they do not think the professionalism is there and that the job is worth it. Coaching Pakistan should be the third or fourth most important job in cricket.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not. And it's never been. And it's a bit of a joke. Right. And we know that. And, you know, and that is a real, real shame. And that's about the professionalism of some of these teams. And, yeah. I promise you, some of this stuff happens at franchise level. I've been at the Pakistani equivalent of a CPL team. I know what it's like to be involved with bad, you know, management. So I'm aware of that it can happen in franchise cricket too. But in franchise cricket, you just don't have the same level of scrutiny. So you can just be like, oh, well, if the owner wants to do this, if the owner wants to make his nephew a vice captain of the team and I'm still getting paid my contract, then okay, that's fine. You know, maybe I'll do that. But yeah, that's... the whole thing's quite full on.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Vedang Kashyap has asked over here in a question that why can't Pakistan trust Pakistani domestic coaches? Well, because every time there's a change in chairman, some guy says domestic coaches, then the next one says foreign. Then it's domestic, then it's foreign. They have these fixated obsessions. And I mentioned earlier in this same podcast that they have a special kind of hard-on for Aussies because the Australians beat them in big tournaments every now and then. So they just feel like Australia has something that Pakistan doesn't. And, you know, that's why they're always keen to bring them on board. And Watto is just a prime example.
Exactly. I've said this before. If you're starting the conversation with, we need a foreign coach or we need a domestic coach, the conversation's already wrong.
Yeah.
The conversation has to start with, what kind of coach do we need? who are the best coaches that fit that template.
That profile, right? Yeah.
So, you know, I've done some work from franchise cricket where my job has been to find a coach. And they always say, tell us who the best five coaches are. And I said, that's absolutely pointless, right? Yeah. What kind of coach do we need for this franchise is the first question you need to ask right now. Where is the team at? What do they need? Let's work back from that. And if you're starting with, we need a domestic coach, we need a foreign coach, that's just idiocy 101. I don't know why that's a university course, but now it is. Yeah.
Anyway, in other news, of course, coaching is a hot topic. And Sri Lanka have hired a new fast bowling coach. Aqib Javed, the head coach of the Lahore Qalandars, is going to be coaching them during the T20 World Cup in the USA and the Caribbean. So Aqib is someone who is a bit of a character. He is either loved or hated by the people who he interacts with. And he's been Lahore Qalandars' coach for 9 seasons. Played 3 finals, won 2 of them, and then there's 6 years in which they did not progress to the playoffs. So they were garbage. And he does have some good, honors back in the day. Under-19 World Cup in 2004, he won with Pakistan. T20 World Cup 2009, he was the fast bowling coach back then. He was coach of the UAE as well when they got ODI status and qualified for the 2015 World Cup. Of course, he himself is a 1992 World Cup winner. So it's not like Aqib does not have a resume. He does. And maybe, you know, with Sri Lanka having so many raw fast bowling talents, I know Madhushankar's injured right now, but he's around. Lahiru Kumara is still pretty good. And you've got a couple of slingers in Pathirana and Tushara. So he's worked with a slinger in Zaman Khan as well. So maybe Aqib isn't the worst pick because that ego element won't come in Sri Lanka. It probably is more so apparent in Pakistan because of the way things are over here. Maybe he's well behaved in Sri Lanka. So I know you guys might be surprised, but I think there is a small chance that this works out well.
Small chance that in 4 months he'll be looking for a new job. Even if it works out well.
He's just been hired for the World Cup, right? So
yeah.
Estelle was really keen to hear my thoughts and our thoughts on this. So I think
Estelle, interesting. Yeah.
It's a flip of a coin sort of situation because it's not like he hasn't worked with international teams before. He's been successful with them as well. The UAE is probably the one that stands out over here. And, sure, he's had some success with Pakistan teams, but I feel like the UAE one is the job that we really need to focus on over here, because that's the one in which he was in an environment where he wasn't running around like a king.
When you coach UAE, you have to be like a school coach, because there are a lot of guys who just, their raw talent isn't a problem, but there are a lot of guys who haven't gone through systems, so they need to be taught very basic things. He's going to be working with different kinds of cricketers. So now I think there's a couple of young Sri Lankan players who are probably going to be in that raw kind of thing that he's going to have to work with. So it's interesting.
Yeah, and it's just a World Cup. So Sri Lanka probably don't have a lot of hopes pinned on winning this World Cup at least. So if they or some of their seamers have a good tournament, then this will be a minor win for them, I believe. Anyway, Anish, with the 10,000th super chat of the day. Thanks for all the money, Anish. We love you. He says, which international team would you guys like to coach? Obviously, India. I want to get paid.
I wonder what Rahul Dravid is on compared to Brendan McCullum, or compared to what Shane Watson was just offered, by the way. Yeah. That's a really interesting question. New Zealand?
Yeah, it's safe. They'll stick around with us for a long time.
Actually, maybe someone like Ireland, New Zealand. I'm trying to think of someone else that's sort of coming through.
I mean, we'll get to spend a lot of time in New Zealand. That's a plus, right?
Yeah. Like, I think I'd like to work with a cricket board that is willing to try some things without the fear of in 3 months' time, they're going to rip the whole thing up and we'll start again. I think those cricket boards come to my mind that would be maybe slightly more open to those sorts of things. But I'm not about to become a cricket coach.
And if I were to be offered some sort of role, it would probably be like team manager at best. I can't coach for shit. So I would like to have some structure. So actually, on second thought, New Zealand would be the best place to go because they're all nice people, will hang out, have a fun time. And cricket won't be
the be-all and end-all. Cricket riders, right? Like, you can do the shit job and you still probably see out your contract after 2 years. Yeah, you know, maybe... maybe Mark Richardson slags you off on the radio occasionally and you're just like, okay, I could take that. That just seems like the cruisiest job. But also, I do think they did some incredible things with the way they changed how their cricket was played And they seem more open to changes. And the other place, as I said, Cricket Island is a really interesting one. They don't have the money, not that New Zealand have a lot, but Cricket Island didn't have any. But again, you are starting with almost a blank slate at times. So they're probably, you could go in and have some really good chats with people. But this is why we are doing this, because we want to get this team to this section, right? And you can't do that. If you did that in Australia, you'd be like, mate, this is how we play cricket. Piss off.
Yeah. Also, you want to be in New Zealand because cricket won't be the be all and end all. Hey, so we lost. At least we.
That's what I mean. It's not. It's just not the same, is it? Like it's the from that point of view, it's a it's the cruisiest cricket coaching job, I would have thought. Not the actual coaching, but the outside of coaching.
All right, final topic of the day on this episode of Uncovered. We've been going on for quite a while, and I think it would not have been fair had we not talked about this. RCB, after being a franchise T20 organization for, 16 years now? When was the first IPL? Yeah, 16 years. Yeah, 16 years, that's correct. They finally won a title, and the women have brought that to them. Elise Perry did really well. Smriti led them. They've got Richa Ghosh in that team. The streets were flooded. RCB fans were losing their shit online. It was actually quite wholesome to watch. I'm happy for RCB. Mm. But it's been a long time coming, so much so that Vijay Mallya has tweeted, Jared.
Vijay Mallya. One day I will release all my Vijay Mallya stories. But yes, it is. Look, I think we talked about it in the last podcast, but it's a really important thing. I think it couldn't happen to a better side/fan base. Not that I wish any good on RCB, because obviously I was involved with them briefly and, not that I have ill will, but I wasn't, massively excited about working for them. But if there's any fan base that was going to celebrate this the right way, it was this fan base. Mm. I'm not saying some of the other fan bases haven't had some shit sandwiches as well, but there's something special about the RCB shit sandwich, considering the sorts of players that they've had and everything else.
Yeah.
And I just felt like the fan base earned this. And as you said, they have acted that way, right? It's been a joyous time. And again, it just shows us how much women's cricket has grown. And Elise Perry, like, what a ridiculous player she is, because a couple of years ago, I don't know if Hypercourse is in the comments, but a couple of years ago, she wasn't really a fantastic T20 player anymore.
And now she's taking sixfers.
And then, like, I saw the game where she took the sixfer and I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? And her batting has got more T20 focused as well. She's just, an incredible player. But yeah, I think for me, it's more about it's about the women's cricket, and it shows you just how much it's growing. But then it's also about the RCB fan base, who is a genuine fan base, right? Mm. Like, I felt, as someone who covered this from the start, they were one of the first teams that had like a genuine fan base that acted like fans. I remember being shocked back at the start of how quickly RCB fans just seemed to come around that team. And what did they get for that? Absolutely nothing. So to get this title, I think has given them something, and I don't think the men are about to win one. So, it might be another mega auction coming up where the men will need something to come back. So, huge for them, and well done to all those people who have given a shit for 16 years.
Yeah. You guys have definitely, deserved this win. And I suppose that Smriti, Pez, Richa, Kate Cross, they've done what Kohli, De Villiers, Gale, someone else I'm missing, have not
been. Oh my God, I'm definitely going to get Kate Cross on a podcast to say, do you think you're better than Chris Gayle?
Definitely. All right. Last super chat of the day. Guys, I have to actually jump right off.
Have to jump.
Yeah, because I also have to eat before my fast starts. So it's complicated. Yeah. Anyway, UM123 has given us a team, and he's asked me what I think of this team. So Siam, Babar, Rizwan, Harish, Shadab, Ifti, Imad, Amir Jamal, Shaheen, Naseem, Zaman Khan. I like how you've gone with Siam and Babar up top, because we've seen that it's a successful opening pair in the PSL. Also, Siam is belligerent. He's attacking and he can complement Babar 3.0 well, because Babar 3.0 is consistently going at 140 to 150 in the power play, which is promising. So in your batting order, if Babar gets out, I would send Rizwan, because you'd always kind of need one of those guys to be on the crease. And if Siam gets out, I'll send Harris. If Babar plays long, I would never send Rizwan. I would automatically move forward to Shadab and Ifti and the likes, who can dominate, spin. Shadab can dominate spin, not Ifti. and then they can kind of hit out towards the end. Imad is still retired from international cricket, but he had a splendid PSL. So if he can come back, that could solve a lot of issues with respect to batting still, and bowling depth.
It's still three spinners who can't take a wicket, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So I would actually not have Amir Jamal in there. I would probably go for Abrar or Usama Mir. I'm actually more keen on Abrar Ahmed because I feel like even though Usama Mir got more wickets or the most wickets for any bowler in the PSL, Abrar was bowling in the power play. The quality of his wickets was better. And he has a mystery spin element to him. So
Usama Mir in the final looked like he, again, and it's not the only time we've seen him in high leverage games, just not look like he's ready yet.
That's my thing with Usama Mir. Like sometimes it's like I'm happy and sad when he does well because I'm like, oh, Pakistan is screwed for another ICC tournament. But then he's doing well. And it's the angle that he bowls at, which probably helps him a lot. And he's been varying his pace and whatnot. And he's working with Alex Hartley, who he has credited as well. But yeah, I definitely have another spinner in there who I at least feel can get me wickets. And Abrar is someone I'm tilting towards ahead of Usama. But Usama's probably going to play because he took all those wickets. If Harris Rauf is available, I'd still take him. I know a lot of people hate him. But hey, express pace, who doesn't like that?
Apparently, Pakistan's new chairman.
Yeah, definitely not. And I mean, with the dislocated shoulder and everything, it is a big worry. But hey, Zaman Khan, slinger, does well in the death, whatever. Sure, Pakistan, if they just come together, they'll be tough to beat at the World Cup. If they don't, group stage exit. Ireland are knocking them out. Yeah, for sure. Anyway, that brings us to a close. Thank you, everyone in the comments section who stayed on for both Overthrows and Uncovered. That'll be it for this week. We'll be back with another episode of Uncovered next week. You were with Barad and Jehram. That's who you were with. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.